on our requests that he release the crucial radio dispatch tape, which should be a simple matter unless he has something to hide. We got recommendations instead about looking into toy guns and some fluff about retraining people in dealing with the mentally disabled. What about the ethically disabled police chief and district attorney and the ethically disabled council members who support them and their free fire firearms policy? I thought the progressives who elected 6 members of this council were committed to negotiation, not termination. The council's Citizens Police Review Board, of course, will hold weighty hearings behind locked doors, peer over the shoulders of the confidential police reports, and pronounce their solemn findings half a year down the road without any public process. That's what they did in the Dine case, where the board dodged an early investigation, ducked a special hearing, kept their meetings closed, asked for no independent investigation, called no public hearings, and gave us, in the end, no explanations. The only answer we got from their closed offices was the silent message, trust your local police officer, or perhaps trust your local police chief. On Monday night, the Citizens Police Review Board not only cut off neighborhood members and others who came to testify before them, they meekly postponed a minimal proposal that the chief inform them before throwing out complaints, as he did with those from McGrath and Weaver against the abuses in the Andrus shooting. The board refused to second a motion, the first in the board's history, that a real independent investigation be held in the Andrus case. 6-1, no real investigation into the Andrus case. They sent to City Council another ponderous ordinance change. They're real big about these ordinance changes. Instead of a simpler bylaw measure, which would give the board the power to review all shooting complaints, but then provide no assurance that such review would be public or independent. In other words, they would give themselves the power to peer over the shoulders of the police investigators, but not actually take any independent action or have any public testimony. As such, it would just mean that the board would be, quote, kept informed about Belcher's own decisions on how the SCPD is investigating its own members. Last night, when I asked that this be clarified as I spoke on the issue, Chairman Rose repeatedly interrupted me, cut me off in violation of the Brown Act, and then threatened me with arrest and removal. This is actually on tape, and I'm going to be playing this in my next edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides on Sunday. You'll get to hear how a spokesman for the police department, I believe her name is Barbara Williams, she's a worker for the Police Officers Association, stood up and denounced us at great length, and actually somewhat in an irrelevant fashion, because the issue that she was talking about was, that she was supposed to be talking about, was an agenda item, but she didn't talk about that. When I attempted to respond, I was literally threatened with arrest, even though I was speaking during my time that followed hers, and we'll hear about that later. It's not terribly important. It did affect me personally, but it shows you the kind of practices this board has and the kind of interests that it wants to protect. It is very concerned when the police department is harshly criticized. It is very, very concerned. It should, of course, be concerned when the citizens get shot down by the police officers, but that kind of concern doesn't seem to be manifesting itself. The community must demand the City Council require early investigation followed by full independent investigation and public hearings that it evaded in the Dine case. Is there a hope in hell that it will do so? With the Rotkins-Matthews majority firmly in place, piecing off the city to the police department on the one hand and developers on the other, I don't think so. Here's a clue. At the conclusion of this public comment period, see if one council member has a word to say about firearms policy or independent review. Listen for the sounds of silence. And in fact, nobody had anything to say about that after the oral communication period Tuesday night, the night that followed the Citizens Police Review Board, when I actually gave most of the speech to City Council, or some of it. Didn't I hear Mayor Scott suggest that a hearing officer be automatically appointed in shooting cases? What happened to the protocols Councilmember Kennedy suggested in view of Belcher's whoppers in the Dine case? That's Police Chief Belcher. Since none of these matters have been followed up on, how about a resolution of concern from the City Council that urges our Police Review Board to do its job this time? Don't ask, but direct the Citizens Police Review Board to hold an early investigation so Police Chief Belcher cannot simply declare certain complaints invalid, as he did 2 weeks ago in the case of the complaints of Doug McGrath And I'm looking for her name in my speech here. Marilyn. I can't remember her last name. In any case, and those two complaints that were the substance of so much discussion at the Police Review Board meeting. Direct the board to hold an early investigation so that the police chief cannot tie up other complaints until witnesses have dispersed, public interest cooled, and deadlines passed. We need public hearings now to get to the bottom of what happened when bullets flew at Button Street, to restore our community's confidence that Mayor Celia Scott and not Chief Blast-Em-Away Belcher holds the gavel at City Hall, that we the people and not they the armed cowboys are actually in charge. Instead, Belcher refuses to investigate complaints which the council's own Citizens Police Review Board has found valid. Belcher's delays combined with ongoing court proceedings mean that the Andrus complaints are likely to be kicked into midsummer at the earliest. How many more Waco-style Wild West shootouts will our community have to witness before the council calls in and cancels the blank check it has given police agencies in addition to 50% of the city budget? I might add, a blank check to invade our homes and shoot our relatives. Whose cops are they anyway? And that was the speech that I was really not able to give at City Council. I gave selections from it, and we were talking, of course, about the shooting of Brian Andrus. And I believe our time is rolling to a close here, and coming down the pike is going to be Uncle Dennis in discussing environmental matters. Interesting stuff, good music, pungent analysis. I don't know if he has a call-in. I'm not sure about that, but he's certainly worth listening to. I encourage you to stay tuned. I also encourage you to, I think I hear his voice in the distance there, come back and join me again on Sunday. And if you're interested, by the way, I want to remind you, those of you who are following the case of the Rancho Del Mar police harassment of young people out there at the Aptos Shopping Center, the case of Brian Clark is reappearing at Department 7, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, if you want to keep your eye on what's going on out there. That's pretty much it for tonight. I want to thank you for being with us. And again, join us again, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning for another edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. If you've got anything to bring to our attention in the meantime, give me a call at Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at the Huff Line, 423-4833. And stay tuned for Earth First.
You're tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and it's time for Earth First Radio.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that brings in peace. Friends are on the run. There's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop losing human race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. of the earth. The land is yours by right of birth, but all the races can't stand to see the way that we were meant to be. Our sisters and brothers are dying every day.
Journey off his CD, Keep It Wild. That's the Earth First theme song here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name is Uncle Dennis, and you're here with me every Thursday night from 8 to 10 o'clock. And we do no compromise radio. We do news, views, poetry, and views. Tonight we got announcements and news, and we also have Sean from the Pelagic Shark Research Foundation. He's going to talk to us about something that's going to happen over the 4th of July. And it ain't too pretty. In fact, it's real ugly. But we'll get into that in just a little while. Want to let folks know that, let me open this little announcement here, which tells me what I need to know. From the Coastside Habitat Coalition in San Gregorio, California, they're telling me their court date has changed again. Well, I always thought it was Monday, April 20th. And it still is Monday, April 20th, so I haven't been feeding you a line. And as always, Uncle Dennis asks that you keep a pencil and paper handy, because the information that I'm giving you is useful stuff. This is not a radio show for couch potatoes. This is a radio show for activists. So get off your butt, find a piece of recycled paper and a pen, and write this shit down and do something about it, because you're the only one who will. Or maybe other people will too, but don't count on them, because you know what you need to do. Get out and do it. Monday, April 20th, get your hindy up to the 450 Golden Gate Avenue in San Francisco, up on the, I don't know what floor it is, 14th floor, 15th floor, man, it's way up there. And it's the courtroom of Judge Charles Breyer. Things are going to probably happen. They don't give a time here. Come on, Coastside Habitat. 9 a.m., there it is, 9 a.m., Monday, next Monday, April 20th. Again, 450 Golden Gate Avenue in the city. If you want to give a phone call to the Coastside Habitat Coalition, their phone number is 650-568-1306. And what is all this court stuff about? Well, it's about Cascade Ranch. Cascade Ranch is a beautiful hunk of real estate up on the north coast near near Pigeon Point, excuse me. And they've got red-legged frog, San Francisco garter snake, coho salmon, steelhead, and a whole bunch of other critters, but those are the ones that are endangered right now. And they've been bulldozing the place and putting in water lines and pumps and all this kind of stuff. They're going to put in an RV park. And Prime Properties Incorporated, Paul Gould Incorporated, and a bunch of other folks want to put in this touchy-feely RV park, and they just don't get the picture here that habitat's more important than the RVs. So that phone number again, 650-568-1306. They'll tell you a lot more about it. And get your ass up to 450 Golden Gate Avenue Monday morning, 9 a.m. Go upstairs to the courthouse. I believe it's on the 14th floor, something like that. Judge Charles Breyer, and support the Coastside Habitat Coalition. Really good folks. They've had some killer demos out on Highway 1. Coffins and endangered butterflies. Really great stuff. All right, what else is happening around? Well, let's see here. Local stuff. Where did it? I'm kind of in a frenzy today. Here we go. Here's another one about Coastside Habitat Coalition. Okay, let's see here. In Santa Cruz, on Wednesdays, the Earth Justice Ministries will be presenting a series of, I guess these are just meetings. Doesn't really say it. Study groups. That's what they are. They're study groups. Your Health and the Environment, a Christian Perspective. And this is put on by Sharon Delgado. Really great person. She's been doing a lot of work. And apparently this is a book. I don't know. Your Health and the Environment, a Christian Perspective. And it's been released by the National Council of Churches, and she's going to be presenting this, I guess, April 22nd, Health and the Environment, an Overview. What a beautiful world we've been given. It's yours to live in and to care for. And who can we believe about the issues of dangerous synthetic chemicals, rising health care costs, global effects of toxic pollution, and regulatory inadequacy? April 22nd, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church. April 29th, Living with High-Risk Synthetic Chemicals. 70,000 new chemical compounds have been released into the environment since 1935, and almost all of them are untested. We're the guinea pigs, folks. What are we going to do about it? Roll over and kick our legs in the air? I don't think so. Anyway, April 29th from 7 to 8:30. May 6th, Environmental Hazards and Human Reproduction. May 13th, The Environment and Cancer. May 20th, Children's Health and the Environment. May 27th, Healing Ourselves and the Earth. They're all to be held at First United Methodist Church. That's over on the west side, 250 California Street. And you can call 429-6800 or Earth Justice Ministries at 471-0969. 471-0969. And if you want to send email, it's revshare, R-E-V-S-E-H-R, excuse me, R-E-V-S-H-E-R, at earth-justice.org, revshare at earth-justice.org, and a lot of good stuff going on. So, let's see here. Gonna play a little music, get right into more news when I get back. Right now it's Robert Hoyt.
America has you. You say
gonna let freedom ring. Down in Managua, not Beijing. And now our nation's daughters are under attack. They're singing, hell no, we won't go back. Apple pie. In the name of freedom, the things you do, apple pie. I'm just as American as you. Dead presidents have too many friends to believe that means they're justified by their ends. Excuse me while I state my case, but here's a little apple pie in your face.
His CD, as American as you, yeah. All right, Robert Hoyt, a fine musician out of the Tennessee, North Carolina area. He's been involved in Earth First for a few years, and he's got quite a lot of good music out of there. Robert Hoyt, check him out. We're going to play some more Robert Hoyt in a little while. Got an announcement here from the Santa Cruz Rainforest Action Group. They're looking for a few people to help table at this Saturday's Earth Day event at San Lorenzo Park. You probably should show up about 10 o'clock, and it runs till 5. And they're looking for volunteers. By the way, Earth First is looking for volunteers for our table, too. But if you'd like to help out the Santa Cruz Rainforest Action Group, call Steve at 479-1692. And this Saturday, from 11 to 5. That's when the Earth Day event is. And Steve, I'd like to hear from you at 479-1692 if you want to help the Scrag. If you want to help Earth First, just show up. Don't call, man. Just be there. Earth First Santa Cruz will have a table with Free Radio Santa Cruz at Earth Day this Saturday. So help out. Get on down there. Timber sale that the environmental community has been fighting for years has suddenly reappeared. LSRRC 305 Fuel Reduction Project, known as the Horse Linto Timber Sale, is close to being approved. We've all fought this project for years, but it's been resurrected numerous times, and it's back up again. The project is in the Orleans Mountain Roadless area next to the Trinity Alps Wilderness, folks, and I've hiked a lot in the Trinity Alps. This place is beautiful, and it doesn't need to be raped by the Six Rivers National Forest. The project will degrade both the roadless area and sensitive fish populations in Horse Linto Creek. Lou Woltering is the Six Rivers National Forest new forest supervisor. He has the power to spare the Orleans Mountain roadless areas. Please contact Supervisor Woltering and ask him to leave the Orleans Mountain roadless area out of the LSR RC 305 Fuel Reduction Project. Remember, cutting trees doesn't reduce forest fires at all. Here's the address and some phone numbers. Lou Woltering, W-O-L-T-E-R-I-N-G, Forest Supervisor, Six Rivers National Forest, 1330 Bayshore Way, Eureka, California, 95501. Again, that address, Lou Woltering, Forest Supervisor, Six Rivers National Forest, 1330 Bayshore Way, Eureka, California, 95501. Here's a phone number, 707-442-1721. 707-442-1721. And this information was brought to us by Ryan Henson of the California Wilderness Coalition. And You can contact Ryan by email at ryan@calwild.org. CWC has been defending California's wildlands since 1976. Good for him. I've got more information about stuff. We're going to have information about Julia Butterfly. She debated Pacific Lumber Company's CEO John Campbell last Sunday on CNN. Don't have a TV myself, but maybe you saw it. We have a news story about that. And other things are happening. I have a story here about an independent study done for the Oregon Department of Forestry, which definitely correlates landslides with clear cuts. And as you remember, 2 years ago, 17 people died in Oregon as a result of landslides and clear cuts. I guess I already read that one. All right, we've got more news from Washington, D.C. and around the world. We've also, and stay tuned, if you want a job in Montana this summer, you can be a office coordinator for the Native Forest Network. I've got more information about that later. But right now, we're going to talk about sharks. Where are these sharks? Why? These sharks are not very far away, are they, Sean? I have Sean from the Pelagic Shark Research Foundation. Did I get that right?
Speak up and get closer.
You are correct, sir.
We got to share this mic. I remember a few years ago, a bunch of us got together on the 4th of July weekend, I think it was, and had a big demonstration. Somebody locked herself to her car and blocked a boating ramp down at Kirby Park, I think it was.
Right. That was one of several protests and demonstrations regarding the Moss Landing Elkhorn Slough Shark Archery Contest.
Well, what do they do in this contest?
Well, basically, the sportsmen go down to the sloughs during the spring when the sharks are in the sloughs to breed and procreate, and they are at this time preoccupied with nature's duties. And in low tide conditions, they're often exposed, and the sportsmen can get within just a matter of feet and shoot arrows into them.
Well, this doesn't sound really sporting. I mean, why did this start?
Well, it's a long story. It goes back to shortly after the Second World War. And at that time, it was decided by a group of shellfishermen who were harvesting shellfish from the slough that they should purge the slough of evil sharks and rays that they, at the time, erroneously believed were consuming their shellfish and were a threat to their livelihood. And so they were able to put together a contest where the sportsmen would go down to the slough, and the guy who, or guys, team who killed the most sharks in that period of time were the winners, and whoever had the biggest stack of dead sharks would win. And they were successful in reducing the population significantly with that effort. Within a few years, the shell fishery collapsed anyway, you know, of its own weight. And it, you know, research since then has shown that the sharks involved weren't actually a threat to shellfish anyway. They don't eat those things. The whole thing was just an act of futility.
So the sharks were there breeding, right. And the shell fishermen were there trying to harvest, I suppose, clams and mussels.
They were trying to maintain record high levels of harvest in the slough, and okay. It was decided by some corporate person at that time that if they were to eliminate their competitors, which in this case were, you know, presumed to be the sharks,
but falsely assumed.
Erroneously believed to be the sharks doing this, and they decided that if they, you know, purge the slough, then they would have more shellfish for themselves, etc. And so that's how that ended up. And the event eventually evolved into two different venues. One was an archery event, as I explained. The object is to shoot the sharks with bows and arrows, or just any hurled projectile, basically. And then a rod and reel event, which since 1990 has been rehabilitated to an extent to where it's catch and release. So the sportsmen go down, catch the animals, have their way, and then release the animals, 80% surviving, as best we can tell. We were able to convince them over the past 3 years to not even hold the event, just to give the resource a bit of time to recuperate. And I told them that their event could easily be confused with the archery event, which has been drawing nothing but flack. And we are now organizing what's shaping up to be potentially the largest local action of this next upcoming campaign season.
Okay, tell me a little bit about sharks in general. Are sharks really plentiful now, or what's happening to shark populations, say, worldwide? Let's start globally and then work down to local shark populations.
Sharks are over 400 million years old, and they represent, as far as the fossil record can tell, the world's first truly jawed vertebrates, as in placoderms, which aren't exactly vertebrates. They're exoskeleton type of fish, primitive animals, insignificant in comparison to the placoderms are long gone. Sharks, on the other hand, are not only senior residents on the planet, but they've survived at least four major mass extinctions that took out animals like the placoderm contemporaries. Dinosaur sharks were here